I'm Lieutenant Joe Pangaro. I've been a cop for 27 years. I like to say I got a backstage pass to life. Well, guess what? I got some tickets for you. So come on in, pull up a chair, turn up that volume, and let's go. Chasing Justice is on.
Good afternoon, everybody. This is Chasing Justice, and I'm your host, Lieutenant Joe Pangaro. Fantastic to be here with you today. I'm looking over the world around us, and there's a lot of things to talk about here. We know there's a lot going on. I wanted to talk about America Out Loud for a minute real quick, because you all know how much I love being here on the station. It is really the voice of free speech in America as we move forward. And I'm glad that you're out there listening. I'm going to encourage you to listen to some of the other shows, too. There are some great things out there. The other night, I listened to Dr. Ron Martinelli and his Thread of Evidence show. Absolutely excellent. I mean, I really enjoyed every minute of the show. You know, Viewpoint on Sunday is excellent. Voice of a Nation with Malcolm Out Loud during the week is really a lot of fun. So make sure you jump on and listen to what's going on out there. Now, a couple of times I had talked about everybody out there on Twitter and how much I appreciate everybody on Twitter because they, you know, they pop on, they give you commentary, they tell you what's going on, and I appreciate all your voices. You know, I'm doing the best I can here to just cover the news and give it a perspective that I hope it resounds with some of you out there, gives you something to think about, if nothing else. I don't want you to think what I think, I want you to think what you think. But if I can throw some ideas out there, some concepts, and it helps you to define your own thought pattern, that is really what being a brink thinker is all about. We hear Malcolm talk about that all the time, to be a brink thinker, and that's what we should all be. Everybody should really think about what's going on, push it through our own filters, figure out what we think about it, and then move along. But the people on Twitter, you know, I like to do some shout-outs because I think it's great to see your commentary and you pop on. It's awesome. So, Lady Patriot, how are you out there? Thank you so much for your commentary. Debbie Hoptree. Debbie is constantly retweeting and making comments, which I think are excellent. Free speech. You go. Rabbi Jim, one of the newer people that jumped on to follow us. I followed him back. Great. Nature lover. Excellent. You know, I like to do the shout-outs because I do appreciate you out there. So, if you don't follow us, it's at Pangaro Global. At Pangaro Global. You follow us, and we will follow you back. This way we can communicate and talk. All right, so Lieutenant Randy is another show that you really should take a listen to. Randy is a dedicated officer. He's really worried about wounded police officers and injured officers, and we see the tragedies going on across our country with officers being not just dying in the line of duty, which has always happened. It's one of the things we all in law enforcement kind of prepare ourselves when we take the job to understand that, hey, you know, you could get killed in the line of duty. But now we're seeing more than ever officers being ambushed, you know, just sitting in their police car and they get ambushed and killed. This is a new wrinkle in the American fabric. You know, there's always been the occasional attack on an officer. Now you're seeing it kind of regularly. So Lieutenant Randy is excellent. He's on at 4 p.m. You should listen to his show. Really a great guy, had a great career. All right, so without further ado, I just wanted to get that out of the way because, you know, here we are in holiday season, and I want to make sure that you enjoy your time on the radio. You know, pop it on your car, get the app, and listen to America Out Loud. It's really cool. So I see New York State, probably a bellwether of liberal ideas. New York State, New York City, you know, I like New York City, but recently there's been a huge spike in crime. And of course, there's a lot of hand-wringing and people, you know, walking around trying to figure out, gee, why all of a sudden is crime going up? What could it possibly be? And it's like, it's crystal clear. It's right in front of your face why crime is going up. Because we've decided to stop fighting crime as a nation. You know, all this attack on law enforcement, which goes on day and night, you know, the cops are always wrong. You know, the cops get together and have our meeting in the morning, who we're going to go after today. Let's go after these guys today. Let's go lock them up because we just don't like people. We're haters. Let's go do it. That kind of thinking leads to a devaluing of what police do. And it also leads to dangerous activity by people who decide they're going to take it on themselves. So I look at New York State, and I spend a lot of time in New York. And now they have new laws kicking into place. First of all, as of this season, illegal immigrants can now get driver's licenses. And the theory being is, well, now they will get insurance on their cars. Because right now, I guess they're driving around without insurance. So if you give them a license, now they'll get insurance. And if you have an accident, at least you're covered, you know, if they cause the accident and you get hurt. It's kind of strange, though. I mean, the reality is, if you're here illegally, you are breaking the law. But we're going to reward people by giving them a driver's license. So one of two things has to happen. Either one, as a nation, we decide we don't care about immigration. Let everybody in, nobody's illegal, and get rid of those laws. Or enforce the laws and don't give people driver's license who are here illegally. You know, and I did the arguments that go round and round, you know, just good people, they just want to be. I get that. We talk about that all the time on Chasing Justice. I know the hardworking, decent people that are here to have a better life. I get it. I know why they're here. But the reality is they're still here illegally. And if they don't do it correctly, it doesn't help anyone. By having these driver's license laws is also a diminution of our rule of law. When we start to see we take apart these pillars of what hold our society together, and we are a rule of law society, if we start to take that apart and we only enforce the laws that we like, we only deal with things that we agree with, then it's up to everyone to decide what laws they're going to follow, what laws they're not going to follow. So a big thing that's been going on for a while is bail reform. Now, the purpose of bail, when you commit a crime and you get arrested, the purpose of bail is to make sure that you appear in court. So you have a stake in the game, so to speak. So you get arrested and you have to put up $500, $1,000, a serious crime, $1 million. And if you don't have that money, then you spend your time sitting in jail waiting for your case to come to court. Now, the idea behind this, so you have a stake in the process. But it was also to ensure that people just didn't commit crimes and leave the building and go commit more crimes, because there's no punishment for it. There's nothing to stop people from doing it. So bail reform has been something that I've seen in the course of my career. Now, I can certainly see there are areas for bail reform. You know, believe it or not, back in the day, one of the things that people used to get arrested for was having a suspended driver's license. Now, normally, it's a very high penalty, financial penalty, if you drive around and your license is suspended. If you drive around and you get caught several times, you could go to county jail for a period of time. The whole idea being, if your license is suspended, you must have driven in such an inappropriate way, gotten so many tickets or whatever, that the state says, hey, you're not safe on the roads for everyone else. Now, that means for you and me. So somebody who's suspended and they can't drive, to just say, well, too bad, I'm going to get in the car and drive, puts all of us at risk, puts our kids at risk, our families at risk. So the whole idea being, you know, if you get suspended, you shouldn't drive. Now, lots of police departments used to arrest you, bring you to the police station, and then make you post a bail, because obviously you're not paying attention to the law. So you post maybe $500. You say $500 cash bail or a bondsman, all right? So when you think about minor things, having to post $500 might not be a problem for me, might not be a problem for you, but for lots of people, just people who are just trying to get by, trying to live their lives, they get themselves in some kind of a jam. They did something they shouldn't have done, and they got to post a $500 bail. They might not have that $500 bail, which means they end up going to jail waiting for their case to come to court. They could be in jail for a long time waiting for that case to come to court. And now you're saying, is the punishment fitting the crime? All right, so let's look at another example. Shoplifting. Now, lots of people shoplift as a way of life, as a business. I've seen it my whole career. There's shoplifting rings. There are people that just shoplift and then they sell stuff on the streets. We used to see that all the time. We had a big mall and there was groups of women that would come in and shoplift as a team. And then a couple hours later, you go up the next town over and you would find these ladies selling stuff out of the trunks of their car. And it'd be a line of people there to buy stuff because they were selling it relatively cheap. Because the people that were buying them either wanted to buy them cheap or couldn't afford to buy them at the mall. So they were buying stolen property. So one of the things that some states have done in California and some parts, I think it was in Texas. If I'm wrong, I apologize to Texas, but I thought it was Texas and California came up with this idea that if somebody shoplifts less than $700 worth of merchandise, they're not even going to be charged. Well, what do you think that sends? What kind of a message does that send to the community of people that shoplift on a regular basis? Because like I said, they're shoplifting groups. They go out and they shoplift. When you tell them they could take $700 worth of merchandise and they're not going to be charged, do you think they're going to do it less? Or do you think they're going to do it more? Well, of course, we know people are going to do it more. It's human nature. If there's something that people should be restricted from doing, like stealing from someone's store, and the punishment is you get locked up, you might go to jail, you have to pay a huge fine, that's the incentive not to do it. You know, the crime is not worth the punishment, so you don't do it. But when you take away the punishment, why not just go steal? I mean, go take $700 worth of stuff three times a day. You can make a whole business out of it. And we're starting to see groups of people going in and stealing package huge amounts of stuff and running out the door, and it's creating chaos because you invite criminal activity. So let me get back to New York State now. There's a whole group of laws that come underneath this this bail reform situation. Terroristic threats. You make a terroristic threat, there's going to be no bail set for you. You're going to be charged, arrested, but you'll be released either on a summons, a criminal summons, or whatever. Now, terroristic threats, for a threat to be considered realistic, it has to be something that you're capable of doing, right? So what about in domestic violence cases? Are they still going to let people go in terroristic threats? I don't know. How about this one? Possessing a gun on school grounds. Illegally possessing a gun on school grounds. No bail. You'll get your charge and you'll get to leave. Manslaughter in the second degree. You know, now manslaughter, it's not murder. What it is you recklessly caused the death of someone. You caused the death of someone, and there's no bail for that. What were you doing? What was your behavior? Vehicular homicide. You kill somebody in your car, and they're going to let you go for your court date. So do you think there's going to be more of these activities or less when there's no penalty? The idea, like most liberal ideas, the idea starts out, okay, how do we stop sending people to county jail by putting bail on certain things that people do, like driving with a suspended license. Another one's uninsured. If you drive around uninsured, you can get arrested and have to post $500 bail. Lots of people don't have $500 cash laying around to just give you to get out of jail, so they get stuck going to jail. Where the rest of us, if we got caught doing that, we would have the $500 and we would get out. So the idea of fundamental fairness there is that you want to take away some of these low-level crime things that people do and not stick them in jail for months at a time waiting for a trial, when maybe if they were found guilty, it would just be a fine or maybe 2 or 3 days in jail. And instead, they spent 2.5 months behind bars because they couldn't make the bail. That was the idea of bail reform. Not a bad idea. There are lots of things I think we can do that for. But when you start to look at these other crimes, you say, you're out of your mind. You can't let people go who have committed manslaughter. Terroristic threats, you got to investigate. That could be very serious because people that make threats, lots of them come back and actually kill the people or hurt them. A gun on school grounds, are you kidding? At this day and age, you're going to catch somebody with an illegal gun on school grounds and you're just going to give them a summons and send them home? What are we thinking? What are we thinking? So what happens is, now we see crime in New York is starting to climb again, starting to go up again. We have a mayor and a governor in New York who are both both Democrat Party people, both very liberal. You know, New York's a very, very deep blue state, very, very liberal. And we're starting to see the law and order that was put in place by Giuliani and then Bloomberg, who followed up most of his policies. We see that coming apart now down the road, and we're starting to see more and more crime because it's a lot of hands off. The cops are being held back. We see these Antifa events where they're coming out, hitting people with bats, chasing people down, blocking roads, and we don't do anything about it. The police allow this to happen in these very liberal cities. And what happens when you let people get away with things like that? You let them have chaos, and then they can dictate how the streets will be run. Then human nature says people will go out and do that more. So then we have a more chaotic society. We have a more dangerous society. Recently in New York, a young lady, 18 years old, college student, went to a park near her college. And she was accosted, apparently, by three young men, 13 to 14 years old. They accosted this young girl, and they ended up stabbing her to death. She was stabbed multiple times and left to die. Now, they captured one of the young men. He's 13 years old, and they found a knife. They got the knife, apparently, and he named two other, I guess, guys that were with him. These are 13 and 14-year-old young men who committed murder in a park. Now, as juveniles, you know, they can't release their names. As juveniles, they're treated differently because you want to treat a juvenile, you know. The whole idea is that kids that do things wrong, they're not mature, so maybe they don't really know what they're doing. Now, that might have worked back in the day when they were breaking mailboxes or smashing windows or doing a car burglary. But when we start to say you're 13 or 14 years old and you're robbing people, committing armed robbery, and then stabbing someone to death, maybe we're going in the wrong direction. And that's what I see a lot of this, these ideas. Again, they start out as good ideas. How do we make the system more fair? But to make the system more fair, we've now gone completely the opposite direction, that the cops are always wrong. The cops always do the wrong thing. Therefore, our police should back off, let people do what they want. And what happens? There's chaos in the streets. Crime starts to go up. There's no mystery to this. This is not something that I couldn't believe that happened. Who would have thought? When you handcuff the cops, tell everybody the cops are bad, you go after your police officers. You don't have them enforce the law. You let people run wild in the streets to do what they want and expect that it's going to make a safer location. You know, recently we saw an attack in Jersey City that they're classifying as a hate crime attack. A man and a woman attacked a store. They killed three people inside. A police officer, Joseph Seals from Jersey City, was murdered at the start of the incident. These people had pipe bombs, and they had more weapons, and they killed the store worker and then two people in the store that were Jewish, and they were right next to a Jewish school. And the whole idea that the police are thinking now, the theory is they were going to go attack that Jewish school and kill lots of those kids. So the officer who died was the first one to confront them. I think as they were preparing is the idea right now that we're getting. They were prepping up for their attack. This officer came upon them, they killed him, and then they went and attacked a place next to the school. So when we allow crime to run wild, when we remove the rule of law, when we handcuff our police officers, we make our world more dangerous. We make our world less safe. We really need to think about what we're doing here. Making things more equitable is a great idea. But we got to be careful the pendulum doesn't swing too far in one direction. All right? We'll be back in a minute with round two here on Chasing Justice.
Spreading the outlaw truth from sea to shining sea. AmericaOutloud.com is the voice of liberty and justice for all. The goal is to deliver a message of truth, inspiration, and hope to the world, to unite people from all backgrounds and beliefs in an effort to advance humanity. We are the vision of the voices. Welcome to the new era in communications, America Out Loud Talk Radio.
Yippee-ki-yay! To quote a line from Die Hard, the movie, you know, is Die Hard, is that a Christmas movie? I think they asked Bruce Willis, and Bruce Willis said, yes, it is a Christmas movie. And now I could see why people would think that, but you know what, I've watched it in the summer, I've watched it in the fall, I've watched it in the spring, and I enjoy it when I see it. It's a fun movie. Bruce Willis was excellent. But I can see why people would think it's a Christmas movie. I mean, it does take place at Christmas time. And you know what they say, it's not Christmas till you see the bad guy falling from Nakatomi Tower. Interesting. So in our first segment, we talked about basically justice items, you know, bail reform and how that creates crime problems. Now I'd like to turn our focus a little bit here and look at our world of politics and see where we're going here with our world of politics. We see that our Congress, United States Congress, is ready to call a vote and vote on impeaching the President of the United States. All right. Is this a legitimate function? Now, we talked about this before, and I think we need to keep clarifying it. The Congress has the authority and the responsibility to impeach a president who commits high crimes and misdemeanors. Our forefathers went out of their way to try and define high crimes and misdemeanors and the ability to impeach a president, a duly elected individual by the people. They tried very carefully to set that up so that it was not abused, because their fear was, human nature, as we revert back to our human nature at times, is that if you have an opposite party in control, they could just use the power of impeachment to remove a president they didn't care for, because they just didn't like it. They lost the election. Now, the way, I guess, the fallout of this can be, you impeach the president, and then, the Senate holds the trial, and if you have one party that's opposite of the president, and they really, really don't like him, like the case is now with President Trump, and the Congress impeaches, and then the Senate could convict, and that president's removed. Then they turn their sights on the vice president, impeach him or her, and then remove them, and then the next person in control is the Speaker of the House. That's where the next line of authority goes, to the Speaker of the House. So if you control that Congress, you can get rid of the President and the Vice President. Oh, there you go. Speaker of the House is now the President. Your party is in control. Now that sounds like a very tyrannical move, and it is. And that's what the forefathers were afraid of. So that's why they made this impeachment not a very simple thing. And they kind of set it up with an understanding that it would only be used when the president really did something terrible for which there would be a bipartisan agreement, this person has to go. Now, we saw with Bill Clinton. Bill Clinton was impeached, and you had Republicans and Democrats in the Congress vote for impeachment. Now, contrary to popular belief, Bill Clinton was not impeached over sex, private sexual relationship. Bill Clinton was impeached because he lied under oath. First of all, he's an attorney. Second of all, he's a president of the United States, the chief law enforcement officer of the nation, the president of the United States. And in a court of law, he lied in a court of law. That is horrendous. We cannot condone anyone in our system lying. And Bill Clinton lied under oath to a court. That is why he was impeached. It could have been over tiddlywinks. It could have been over, stealing kumquats. It wouldn't have mattered. If he lied in court, that's what he was impeached for. It happened to be he was lying over inappropriate sexual relationships he was having. It wasn't about the inappropriate sexual relationship. And the media glosses over that, and politicians that want to defend him jump to that. Well, he was over sex. It was just over sex. Of course you'd lie over sex. When we see how we start to lower our standard of what is good and bad. Well, if you're lying about personal sex, that's perfectly okay. Well, that's a slippery slope. we start to lower our standards, then things start to fall apart. So Bill Clinton, that's why he was impeached. Now the trial, when it got to the Senate, he had bipartisan support to not convict him, and that's why he got to continue. Now, whether it was a good idea to impeach him or not, you know, I wasn't part of that Congress. I was a much younger person then. Do I think lying under oath as a president is a good thing? No, I don't. Maybe censure would have been better. I don't know. There has to be some punishment for lying under oath. Otherwise, everybody would lie under oath, right? Then we look to Nixon. Nixon was not going to be impeached because of the tapes. He was impeached because he didn't commit the burglary. He didn't authorize the burglary. Once he found out about it, he covered it up, right? And there's an old saying in law enforcement, it's not what you do, it's usually the cover-up that gets you. And this was the case with President Nixon. He was covering up when he found out what happened. And therefore, do we want a president that's going to be doing that? No. So he was going to be impeached, but his party came to him and said, we cannot support you in this. You got to go, or you're going to get impeached and probably removed. There's enough sentiment in the entire Congress and Senate and the United States to get you out of office. So you should probably go. And he took that opportunity and that cue to say, I don't want to be removed from office. I will resign. And he left. Now we look at Donald Trump and we see this impeachment process. So my question, is it legitimate? It is legitimate because the Congress has the authority, the responsibility, and the power to impeach the president. They're accusing him of things, though, that we can see from evidence did not happen. We have the transcript of the phone call where he did not demand an investigation of Joe Biden to help him in his political career, or he would hold back the money. And that's the reality. We can read the transcript for ourselves. That did not happen. But the people in Congress that are pushing this, Nancy Pelosi said it herself. She said last week on an interview, they said, aren't you rushing this? She says, no, we've been doing this for 2.5 years. Right? They've been trying to find a reason to vote for impeachment for 2.5 years. That's the reality. You know, when you let people talk in the world of interview interrogation, when you let people talk, they eventually tell you things. Things slip out. So this is not about something that he had this phone call this past July and was so horrible. Because we know, first of all, it wasn't horrible. It was a phone call, and he never demanded that they investigate Joe Biden or he wasn't going to give them the money. A case can clearly be made that what he was saying was, hey, can you help us out, the United States, because we're having a lot of problems. We've been through a lot, basically, is what he said, to paraphrase it. And could you find out what's going on with this Biden thing? Speak to our attorney general. He didn't say, find some evidence, come out with a statement, investigate him. He said, reach out to the attorney general. And if you can help us out here, what went on here? He's trying to figure out what happened with the 2016 election. Okay. The Democrats, since the beginning of starting this push on impeachment, have been saying since the very beginning, Nancy Pelosi, Nadler, Shifty Schiff, have been saying, this president committed all these crimes. He did these heinous things. This is impeachable. He's violated his... Where was the, let's investigate and find out what he did? No, they were saying, they were prejudging it from before they did the investigation, that he was already guilty. This is something we can hang our hat on. We got him now. We can get him, and we keep pushing it. Well, the evidence didn't come out that way. You know, the only person who actually had any firsthand knowledge said, the president said, I don't want anything. There's no quid pro quo. Don't do it. Just, you know, tell them to do the right things with their government when they give them the money. So no matter how you look at this, there is no evidence that he committed any kind of crime, high crime or misdemeanor. They are simply in power, and they're using this moment to push an impeachment, which is an illegitimate impeachment. The process they have available to them is legitimate. Like I said, it's their power, their authority, their responsibility. But the way they're doing it is completely illegitimate. There's no doubt about it. You can't look at it any other way. You can't look at it any other way. Matter of fact, there are Democrats who are in Trump districts where Trump won, but people voted for a Democrat in the last election, that are under a lot of pressure. Matter of fact, now they're saying there's up to 12 of them may vote against impeachment. So this is not a bipartisan push for impeachment. This is a bipartisan push against impeachment. But they're going to continue again, which makes it even more illegitimate. Matter of fact, from my own home state here, there's a congressman who came in at the last election. Jeff Van Drew is his name. And recently he's come out and made some commentary. He was one of the guys that voted no on the rules for the impeachment inquiry. And now I guess he's feeling the heat in his district, his people who are pro-Trump district, that he's going to switch parties. He's going to switch parties and become Republican because I guess he's just feeling this is not right. This is inappropriate what's happening here. This is so inappropriate. This is so far away from a genuine process. It is so political that I think it means something long-term for our country. Now, recently, Mark Levin, and I love Mark Levin, he's really a brilliant man. He came out and said it very clearly, and I have to agree with him, and I think I said it here on Chasing Justice, you know, just to throw that out there, that the next Democratic president that's elected, we should pick just about anything and impeach him. If once we control the Congress, just impeach him. Doesn't matter, because we can see now that the media obviously doesn't care about the rule of law. Media doesn't care about due process. The media doesn't care about evidence. The media doesn't care about actual witnesses. So we don't really have to worry about any of that stuff in the future. We can just come up with a claim. You know, the president was nasty to the Marine getting off the helicopter, and that's unfitting of a president, and he should be impeached or she should be impeached and thrown out of office. Whatever the reason we can find, we should do that. Now, do I really want to do that? No, because that is, again, damaging our system. But what we're watching right in front of us, this is damaging our system and our country and everything else. So I think now they're saying up to a dozen Democrats might vote no on the impeachment question. Now, they still have enough to impeach him. But up to a dozen of them are going to say no. They're in these difficult districts. I'm going to tell everybody right now, my opinion is if your representative votes for impeachment, you should primary them and vote them out of office, no matter which party they're in. If a Republican votes for impeachment, get rid of him or her, because this is not a legitimate process we're watching. This is a damage, and it's one of those times in our country that it's calling on us, the people, the men and women who live in this country, us citizens, to do our responsibility, and we get to do our responsibility in the voting booth. Now, we have our representatives. They are not doing the will of the people. They're doing opposite the will of the people. So therefore, the ultimate power in this situation really belongs to us. So before they destroy that Constitution, before they do any more damage, the answer resides with all of us. And I'm speaking to my friends on the left here as well. I know you hate Trump. I know you despise Donald Trump. You hate everything about him. But what you're seeing here is so wrong for our country that you're going to be cutting your nose off to spite your face, basically. Because by standing by this and cheering this on because you hate him and you get a chance to get rid of him is so short-sighted for your future, your children's future, all of our futures. By going along with this because this is your chance to get him is really inappropriate. And if you're going to go along with that, you are part of the problem. Now, if he did something really bad, and there was evidence to prove it, I'd be the first one to line up and say, we cannot have that in a president. That's just the reality. We can't have that kind of behavior in a president. But Donald Trump hasn't done anything like that. He hasn't done anything like that. They're making this stuff up as they go, and they're just coming after him. If you are supporting that because of your blind hatred, because of your just desire to get rid of him, you are part of the problem. So I'm going to appeal to your sense of patriotism, because you're always telling us you're just as patriotic as everybody else, that you're red, white, and blue, and I have no reason to doubt you. But this is your chance to stand up and show it. Because just like I'm saying, if he really did something wrong, I would support getting rid of him. But he hasn't. And we just saw this sham take place right in front of us. Every single day, we saw the lies. We saw the basement secret interviews where the Republicans weren't allowed to ask questions. Do you think that's fair? If that happened to you, if somebody came up with something and you were dragged into court, but your lawyer wasn't allowed to ask questions, only the other side was allowed to ask, and they had secret meetings with witnesses, and they asked only certain things to make a case against you, would you say that's perfectly acceptable? That is what's at stake here. This is not acceptable. As Americans, we cannot allow this particular process to go forward. We can't. This is just wrong on every level. And I can say that till I'm blue in the face. But really, it's to you, my friends on the left. You have to look in the mirror and decide your chance to get rid of Donald Trump comes at the next election, when you have a candidate that can come up with better ideas that most people in the country are going to go, you know, that's a better way to go. We really like this candidate. We really like the things they're coming up with. I'm going to go in and push the button for that Democrat candidate. And that is how you will get rid of Donald Trump legitimately. Because he hasn't done these other things. There is no evidence. Imagine if there was no evidence against you, but yet you were being charged. Would you be okay with that? Would you say, well, I guess that's what people want to do. I'll just deal with it. No, you wouldn't. You'd be incensed at the unfairness of it. That is another damage to our rule of law. We are watching the biggest damage to our rule of law that we've ever seen, which goes right along with this entire attack on Trump since the day he started. They have been fabricating and making things up and coming after this guy because the Democrats lost. And if you're part of that process, look in the mirror. You're part of the problem. If you don't like the guy, come up with a better candidate, come up with better ideas, find a way to make a better economy, convince us that we should do climate change stuff that most of us on the other side do not believe is our fault. Okay? I'm not saying there's not climate change. Climate changes all the time. We live on a planet. We're a rock floating in space. The sun has more to do with anything. But neither here nor there. Convince us that your ideas are the better ideas. And you know what? People will vote for you, and the guy that's in the office won't be there anymore. That's how you do this. That's legitimate. What's going on now is not legitimate, and it's damaging. Now, we all need to think about that for a few minutes. All right? I always say at the end of this program, be a part of the solution, not a part of the problem. Well, where are you in this mess? We're going to take a break. You think about that. We'll be back for round three here on Chasing Justice.
Think back to the last time you felt healthy and energized. The best times of our lives occur when we're at the peak of our health, sleeping better, full of energy and focus. We know that fades with age, and you might be feeling the effects of aging as low energy and poor sleep. But it doesn't have to be that way. There haven't been any nutrition systems designed to rejuvenate our bodies as we get older, until now. Healthy Cell Pro is the only multi-nutrient system that impacts the building block of your body, the cell. Created by anti-aging expert and Nobel Prize nominee, Dr. Vincent Giampapa, award-winning Healthy Cell Pro cuts through the complexity of nutrition supplements by simply giving you the purest ingredients, filling dietary gaps to nourish your cells and enhance your quality of life for optimal performance. Visit HealthyCell.com and use code OUTLOUD for an exclusive discount, or call 844-869-9958.
All right, everyone. You know, it's the season. So I'm going to say Merry Christmas and Happy New Year, because I like to say Merry Christmas and Happy New Year. I'm Lieutenant Joe. I'm your host here of Chasing Justice. We're here every day at 3 o'clock. If you'd like to reach out to us, it's at Pangaro Global. At Pangaro Global is our Twitter handle. You can reach me at, jpangaro@americaoutloud.com. We like to hear from everybody out there. So here we are, ding, 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 round three. This hour goes so quick every day. Spending time with you here is really excellent. And so we were talking in our last segment about this impeachment process and the fact that it is illegitimate on its own because of the merits of the case. So they're calling one of the impeachment charges is the abuse of power, that the president is abusing his power. We're also hearing a lot of the politicians who are calling for this impeachment saying that the evidence is crystal clear that Trump has done all of these things. The evidence is not crystal clear that he's done any of the things. It's uncontested. It's completely contested. It's completely contested. But it's amazing how the media goes along with it. Now, they're saying that Trump abused his power to gain political advantage, right? He abused his power by wanting Ukraine to investigate Joe Biden and go after him. Let me ask you this. Aren't our Democrat friends abusing their power by having a lopsided, one-sided, illegitimate, inappropriate, no good, rotten, four-flushing impeachment process against the president to suit their political will? Isn't that exactly what they're doing? They're attacking the president of the United States for political gain. Exactly what they're saying he did. So we have to really consider that. It's not going the right direction here. Now, there is a congresswoman from Michigan. I believe her name is Elisa Slotkin. Elisa Slotkin. I think I'm saying it right. She's from Michigan. She's one of the new Democrat congresspersons. And she has come out and said she's going to vote yes. She's going to vote yes for impeachment. So all our friends out there in the Michigan area, you need to look at your particular congresspeople and decide what to do. If you voted for Trump and you think this is an illegitimate, inappropriate process, but your representative, you know, they're supposed to represent you, if they're going to vote to impeach the person you think should be president, you might need to let her know or him know you're opposed to that. This is your moment. Because remember, there's no evidence. No evidence of any of this stuff. So where do we go from here? Let's take a minute and think for a second here. Our theme here of justice is rule of law, following the rule of law, you know, and how can we continue that? Well, I think we've covered a lot of those things. I want to think for a few moments, you know, forward into the holiday season and what that can mean. What does justice mean going into the holiday season? There are lots and lots of people this holiday season, no matter what you celebrate in this holiday season, there are lots of people who are in great need, right? We talk all the time about doing the right thing and making sure we do the right thing for people around us. Well, for me, as a Christian, I look at that and I say, hey, what would Jesus do? You know, Jesus would take care of the poor. He would help those people. He would help those less fortunate. So one of the things I'm going to ask you to do is look around. Is there someone in your community? Is there a family? Is there an elderly person who's alone, who has nobody? Are there kids that don't have anything? How can you help them at this holiday time? Maybe it's just invite them to your house for a meal. You know, have a little Christmas party and invite some people over that you don't normally see. You know, reach out to some family and friends that maybe because all of this politics you don't talk to anymore. You know, reach out to them and say, hey, can we break bread? Can we get together? Can we allow the season, this beautiful season, you know, in my faith is the season of Advent. We're waiting for the birth of baby Jesus and all the promise that comes with that of a better world. To use that as a moment to reflect on our lives, move forward, and help other people. So a lot of us do that. You know, there's the giving trees at Christmas. it's probably too late now to do that. But if it's not, buy a present or two for some little kid that's in your area and bring it to the church, give it to them, and let them help make somebody's life nicer. Okay? I know the Tunnels to Towers group, you know, we're trying to figure out here in Chasing Justice. You know, Lieutenant Randy has a great group, the Wounded Blue. You know, maybe write a check to them. A dollar. Send them a dollar. They're helping wounded cops at this time of year. The Tunnels to Tower people, I love that charity. They pay off the houses of law enforcement and military people who die in the line of duty. A couple of years ago, my wife and I had found out about a family that we knew them, but they found themselves in a very difficult position. So we got all our friends together quietly because we knew the ages of the kids. We knew everything that was going on, and we had everybody buy a bunch of different stuff and all kinds of food and all kinds of stuff for them for the holiday. And then we got it into the house so that when they came home, there was this whole Christmas thing going on, which they could not have had. And I know it was wonderful for them. I know for the mom, it must have been such a huge relief to provide for her family that she could have something for her kids. But I got to tell you, for us, it felt great too because we got to help somebody who was really in need. So that's really this the season of time. Kathleen, she does a lot with the church, you know, trying to help different groups. And we'll get people that'll call, and she, you know, once a month or so, her and another woman, they'll take the calls from people who call the church looking for help, whether it's rent money, money for heat, money for food, whatever. And then there's a group that they get together and they try and figure out who they're going to be able to help, how much is the person looking for. And the couple of calls that she's gotten recently are just so upsetting. One is a mom who has a couple of kids. She's been out of work. She's had a health issue. Her car broke down. There literally is no heat in their house. The oil ran out. And this woman, in desperation, calls up looking for help. There will be no Christmas for that family. They don't have heat to keep their house warm. There's apparently no friends and family. And for anybody that's sitting out there thinking, oh, there's always things people can do, I got to tell you, seeing Kathleen and these other women working, trying to help the people in need, you start to realize that you think you have the answers. Oh, I would do this. I would do that. Why don't I go do this? Get another kind of job. For lots of people, that it's just not possible. For lots of people, they are just in such a bad way. Doesn't mean they'll be that way forever. It just means at this moment in time when they're reaching out, they really, really need help. They're at the bottom. And there's not a lot that they can do. So, you know, check with your church group. Even if you're not a religious person, you want to do something decent, just call the church and find out, hey, do you have a thing like this? You know, how can I help? You know, you throw a couple dollars their way. You know, that's one of the nice things you can do. We got, everybody's getting ready for the big holiday break. And then we're looking at 2020, the new year, and all the resolutions, of course, that are going to come with that. You know, what resolutions are you going to make? You know, there's the classics. I'm going to go on a diet. I'm going to go to the gym. Now, anybody that belongs to a gym and goes to the gym year-round, we know what happens, right? Right after January 1st, you know, the gym will be packed. You won't be able to get on any of the machines. The free weights will all be used because all these people are in there. They got their gym membership. They're going to do the best thing for themselves, which is great. But we also know that by February, the gym will clear out again, and you'll have the gym to yourself because everyone's resolutions and all these things that they're going to do kind of fall apart. So are you going to make a realistic resolution? What are some realistic resolutions you can make? Now, when it comes to losing weight, a lot of people do that one, and that's the healthy thing to do. I've been doing it myself. I cut out a lot of carbs. I'm exercising more than I just had time for. I'm making the time to do it. You know, take a walk every single day when you don't normally do it. Walk at a good pace. You know, I'm not going to give you advice what to do. You know what to do. But cutting out the carbs has been really great. I mean, that goes pretty fast because all them sugars and all that stuff is really not good for you anyway. So I'm trying to figure out what my resolution should be. my personal resolution is almost always to try and be a better person. You know, try and be better human being. You know, I try to be a good person. I try to do the right things. But, you know, I fall short. I fall short like most of us. And, you know, you hear Arthur in the background. He's our rescue dog. Arthur is one of the things that we do that are good. You know, we rescue animals. They're innocent animals, and we try to find them homes. And, you know, that's a good thing. But I got to face myself in the mirror. You know, I got to look in the mirror and say, am I doing all I could do? Or am I making excuses for why I'm not doing more? So that's my personal resolution. Do you have a resolution? What is yours? You know, what are you going to do? Whether it's lose weight, get healthier, help others. I don't know. Maybe finally fix that bathroom. You know, or handle the honey-do list. I have a big honey-do list here that I try to get to. I'm working all the time. But that's what I'm thinking about. Now, the holidays, and I say it doesn't matter what holiday you celebrate, because it really doesn't. Whether you celebrate Christmas, whether you celebrate Hanukkah, whether you celebrate Kwanzaa, or any other holiday out there, it's a time for family and friends to get together. It's a time to reconnect with people maybe you've lost touch with. It's a beautiful thing. Maybe you resolve to listen to America Out Loud more. And I don't just mean Chasing Justice, because I hope you're out there every weekday at 3 o'clock joining us here, because you're part of the Chasing Justice family. But maybe it means you listen to America Out Loud more. Listen to the other shows. You know, we started out this episode by talking about the other shows. Maybe you do a show yourself. Maybe you write. Have you ever wanted to write? A good friend of mine just said to me recently, you know, boy, you're a writer. You write stuff. You get articles all over the place. How'd you become a writer? Well, here's how you can become a writer. If you got something to say, write it down. Let somebody read it. That's how you become a writer. Oh, listen to him up there. He's having a good old time for himself. Yeah, Arthur boy. He's been one of the good things. You know, rescuing the animals was really great. You know, I wish I could adopt some kids. You know, I have 4 grown children. And at this point, I wish I had 10. You know, when I was younger, I wanted 1. My wife wanted 10. And then we had 2. And then we were blessed with 3. And then 4. And that's pretty much where we drew the line. You know, now that my kids are grown, I wish I would have had 15. So if there's any young people out there, listening that are just getting married, just getting your life together, just starting your family, I'm going to tell you this. Don't be afraid to add kids to your life. Yes, it's hectic. Yes, there's a lot of running around, a lot of t-ball games, a lot of, you know, Saturday sports events. But having children in your life is one of the most wonderful things that you will ever experience. I know my son Joe and my daughter-in-law Adeline, they just had their first little baby, Annalisa Grace. She is spectacularly beautiful, as you could imagine. But what an amazing gift this child is to our whole family. And I hope she's the first of many from all my kids. But I got to tell you, the joy that these children have brought to my life, and they'll all tell you, you know, over the years, I gruffed and huffed and puffed when I was busy and tired and I didn't want to go to another baseball game or another t-ball game and sit there for 3.5 hours in the cold weather. And you parents that do it know what I'm talking about. But you know what? I wouldn't have missed that time in my life for anything. I used to take my boys, my 2 bigger boys, with another friend of mine, Pat, and his 2 boys, and my friend Tommy and his 2 boys. They were all the same age kids. And we would go on what we call man's camping. You know, no rules, except don't run with the hatchet. So we would show up at this beautiful campground in the mountains. And we would set up our tents. We would set up our fire pit. We'd set up all the food. And we were on the Delaware River, so it was absolutely gorgeous. And we camped right on a stream. So we would, you know, build a little dam in the stream. The water would get about 3 feet deep. We would put our lounge chairs in the water, and the fathers would sit there, and the kids would play all over. And then we'd go down to the river and river raft. And we called it man's camping because it was just a bunch of men. And the boys could eat what they want, say what they want, do what they want, as long as they didn't run with that hatchet. That was the big rule. And eventually I took my daughter and I took my younger son, Jack. And we've all had that experience together. When I look back on it, those memories are so valuable to my life. They have filled my life so beautifully. And I think of that at this holiday time. You know, I think about that at this holiday time, how family and friends fill our lives. We spend so much time on this politics and whether the world is just or not just and who's doing the right thing. That's what I'd like to encourage everybody to do, is just take a couple of minutes. You know, if you have a Christmas tree, sit and stare at your Christmas tree and just look at the beauty that God created in that tree. And then you bring it into the house and it's the center of the home at this holiday time. And it can help to bring everyone together. One of the traditions we have here in our house is ever since the kids were little, whatever was their favorite toy that year, we would take and turn it into an ornament at the end of the year. So we have lots of Spider-Man hanging on the tree. We have some Pokemon up there. My son Alex used to want to be a cowboy. So we got believe it or not, we got an old six shooter, you know, hanging off the tree. And we laugh and we put these things up every single year. Every single year we put these different things up from the kids. Marisa Joy, my daughter, wanted to have Marisa's house of fancy hair because she wanted to be a hairstylist when she was little. And I used to let her do my hair, you know, when I had some hair. And, you know, her little brush and one of her little makeup things is hanging on the tree. And every year the kids laugh and we all laugh together and we put up the tree. It's such a wonderful thing. So I encourage everybody out there, don't be afraid of having more than a couple kids. It is not something you will ever regret. It's a beautiful gift from God, the life of these children. It is probably one of the most profound things you can do as a human being, is to love and care for a child. And as time goes by, you look back and yeah, you worry about the money. You know, everything comes down to worrying about money. But you let go, you let God, you know that old saying, and you find a way. And before you know it, you're sitting around a table and you have all these young people who are now young adults, and you have a life of raising them memories, and now you're watching them as they go off onto their own lives, and you're so excited for them and, you know, in their struggles. You know, sometimes they struggle and you help them through it, but you see when they achieve, and now the next level, the grandchildren start showing up. It is really a blessing that I don't know why I deserve it, but it's something I cherish. And I would encourage all of you, as we're in this holiday season, give this politics a break for a little bit. That's why I wanted to do this segment. You know, I wanted to end with this because we're getting closer and closer and closer to the holidays being right upon us. So everybody out there in Chasing Justice Land, I want to wish you a Merry Christmas, Happy Hanukkah, Happy Kwanzaa, Happy whatever else you're celebrating this month or next month. And remember, you know, being part of the solution means being a loving person to everyone around you. All right? Let's try and look for the best in everybody. Maybe that's our resolution as a group going forward. I don't know. But I want to thank each and every one of you for being here with us for another year as we look forward to next year and more fun together here on Chasing Justice. So until we meet again, Merry Christmas, Happy New Year. You're part of the solution, not a part of the problem.